On Thursday, Stephen Vedder was ordained a deacon. You could see him. I watched a little bit of it on EWTN. And he was easy to spot because there was the glare coming from his head. The bright lights of St. Peter's shone upon him. And there's this glare coming. You're like, oh, there he is. There he is. It's really powerful, though. You know, his uncle, Bishop Austin Vedder, received his promises that he made as a deacon. It's where you make your promises. And he makes the promises of prayer, celibacy, and obedience. And it's powerful, you know? Because they themselves, they're tremendous and powerful promises. And at the same time, I was watching him make those and knowing as well that he has no idea what he's getting into. He doesn't have a clue. He's been preparing for 6 years. He knows in faith this is where God's calling him, and he's saying yes to that. Each one of these promises is a yes to God. But he doesn't know what those yeses entail. How could he? He can't. 10 years ago, this coming Tuesday, is when I was ordained a deacon. You can't see what lies ahead of you, what that yes is going to mean. But yet, you make that promise, and you make it in faith, and you make it knowing that your continuous breath, your continuous prayer has to be the one of the apostles today. Lord, increase my faith. Every breath, every step, Lord, increase my faith. Because he has no clue, in one sense, of what's coming and what this yes entails. He also doesn't have a clue of the ways in which God will bring life forth from his yes that he made on Thursday and that he'll make every single day now that he's a clergy and when he's ordained a priest. He doesn't see the challenges, but he doesn't see either the life that's going to come and that God will bring forth from that. And also reflecting this gospel, it's not like he gets an award for the sacrifices that he's going to have to make from this life either. It's the sacrifices he's making by saying yes to this life of service, but it's what's expected, these sacrifices, to live out this calling that God has given him. To live out that life is one of making these sacrifices, because this is the path that God has drawn him on so that he might become a saint. And it requires this continuous breath, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Every single time a couple enters into the sacrament of marriage, and I stand up here and I receive their vows that they make to one another. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, in riches and for poor. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? Because those are powerful vows that they're making to one another. And they also have no clue what they're getting themselves into. Yes, they've had 9 months of marriage preparation. Yes, they've maybe been dating for 16 months or whatever it might be. But there's no way they can see what's lying before them in the sacrament of marriage that they're entering into. There's no way they can. But their continuous prayer, as their own breath, has to be, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Because it's through that faith that God, they don't see the struggles that are going to be coming and the road that's ahead. They also don't see the life that God wants to bring forth from their yes that they're making on the day of their wedding and the yes that they have to give to one another and to God every single day and every moment of their marriage. They don't see the life that he's going to bring forth and desires to in that marriage. This is how supernatural life works, though. How did Mary conceive Jesus? It was not a natural conception. She conceived through faith, her yes, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And God became man within her womb. This is how God brings forth supernatural life. Through that continuous yes of faith, Lord, increase my faith. And that allows, it gives the space for the Holy Spirit to come in and to bring life into everywhere that yes touches. Mary, she had perfect faith, but even she could not see what all would be entailed with that yes that she gave. How could she? Only God could. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Because without it, in the religious life, the priesthood, yes, even for deacons, yes, even for deacons, for married couples, if you're not living in that faith, if that's not your breath continuously, what happens? If your faith isn't growing, you're collapsing in on self-pity. It's not just like, oh, here's my faith right here. Yeah, it's good enough most times, but sometimes it's just not enough. No, faith is either growing or you're collapsing in on yourself in self-pity. Because what happens in the priesthood, the diaconal life, the married life, those of you who are living your single life as an offering to God, it doesn't matter what state of life, if you're not living that in faith, when those pressures come that you don't see that are going to be there, you're going to collapse in on yourself in self-pity. Woe is me. I didn't know it would be this hard. You don't get a special reward. This is what's the life of service is. It's what becoming a saint is. Because yes, you don't see those pressures. You don't see the struggle. But you also don't see, in the midst of self-pity, the life that God wants to bring through you turning out from yourself, dying to yourself, and saying yes in faith to God. Yes to him, so that the power of the Holy Spirit might come and bring forth life. What does the priesthood look like without faith? The priesthood, the life of a bishop without faith, you know what that looks like? You've seen it. It's an ugly and a horrendous thing. It's warped. Because the power of the gospel itself is turned into this thing where it just parrots the world. It becomes a cheerleader for the secular culture. Instead of being the power, the supernatural power that comes and transforms the world, that's a witness to the world. Instead of being something that brings life into the church and the world, instead it's something that blocks people from Christ. It becomes a source of death. This is the same thing in marriage. What does marriage look like without faith? Marriage becomes something I'm kind of trapped in. I'm trapped in it. My spouse becomes this continuous and building source of annoyance. And instead of my marriage and my family and everything that's asked of it within the road that God has given it, this road of faith, instead of it being a light in the world, it can become something that blocks others from Christ. Myself, my kids, the rest of the world. When it's meant instead, when faith shines through it, to be that which brings people to God. It's a beautiful thing at a wedding, is for a couple and for them to see that you don't see what God is going to do in your marriage. You also don't see, if you're living it in faith each day, Lord, increase my faith, what he will do through your marriage, in the life of other people, in your lives, your friends, your coworkers. That's real, because faith is real, and God works in that way. That's how he brings life into the world. It's the path of becoming a saint, because this whole thing, everything is a spiritual struggle, which is a struggle between life and death. That's the real struggle that's going on within the whole thing. Today is the first Sunday of October. It's Respect Life Sunday. And of course, within Respect Life Sunday, there's a whole vast array of things one can speak on. There's just one that I want to focus on for just a moment. I want to speak because this is something that a couple getting married, you never know the struggles and the crosses that'll be there. And it's one that a couple never knows might be there in their own marriage. Couples who are struggling in fertility, struggling to become pregnant, struggling to carry a pregnancy. You never know that might be a cross, and it's a real cross that's carried by couples. You know in your own life, I know you do, probably a number of couples who this is a cross they carry. I want to say just three very brief things to those couples, and also for you to be able to share with couples you know who are struggling and carrying this cross in faith as well. The first thing is the point of faith. You as a couple, your continuous prayer has to be one of, Lord, increase our faith. Yes, there's a cry of the prophet Habakkuk, Lord, how long? But with that cry has to be the one of, Lord, increase our faith, because we trust, Lord, that no matter what happens in our marriage, you want to bring forth life from our marriage into this world. Your marriage is not a sterile one. The Lord wants to bring forth life from your marriage into this world. You don't know what that's going to look like. Let that cry for it to be the life of a child. Let that continue to rise to God. But it needs that continuous breath of faith. Lord, increase it. Why? Because it needs faith to push back against the lie of IVF, to push back against the false promise of in vitro fertilization that the world is going to try and push. It's a false promise and it's a lie that destroys human life. It destroys human life. The second is for a couple struggling with fertility, don't live in isolation. Because I know it can be very isolating for you from other married couples, other families, from your own family who doesn't understand, from the church. Do not live in isolation. Reach out to me as your pastor. For two reasons. First is because I would want to pray with you. Healing prayer is a real thing. Jesus desires to heal, but it's faith that opens us to be able to receive that healing. Look all through the Gospels. The second is this. When the bishop sent me as your pastor, he also sent you the bioethicist for the diocese. That's a cross I get to carry. But it does mean that I'm in contact with a lot of people who they desire to be able to help couples who are struggling in this way. Just on Friday, I got a call, and it was somebody calling because they had a bioethics issue. But in the midst of that, it's a couple that I've known from before they were married, that she works in healthcare. And she says, if you know couples in your parish, give them my cell phone number. Because the power of the gospel of life with science is an incredibly life-giving thing. The church doesn't have to give in to the lies of IVF and other things, because the church has the power of faith with science in things like NAPRO technology. What is that? Come and ask me. It's beautiful. And I can put you in contact with people here in Western North Dakota who can help and give hope in the midst of that. This couple themselves that I was speaking with, they've been married for 8 years. They themselves have tried and tried for 8 years to have a child. Tried and tried. They adopted two beautiful children in the midst of their marriage. And there's a funny thing that happens. It doesn't always happen, but it happens enough. They were told they'd never have a child. They kept on trying. They adopted two children, and now they're expecting in December, which is the third point I want to give, and that's of generosity. It's of generosity. For a couple who's struggling with this, there's going to be the temptation to turn in on yourselves in self-pity, to live a selfish marriage. I want to encourage you, live in tremendous generosity. Live in an incredible generosity, and God, through that faithful generosity that you live in, will bring forth powerful life into this world. Live in a generosity, even a generosity to ask if God's calling you to open your family to adopt, to bring in children who need a family. Because the Lord is able to work in powerful ways. Again, it's not every time, but I can count. It takes two hands to count the couples I know who, when they open their family in generosity to this, that cry for life of their own soon followed, a child. All of us, we have no clue what lies before us when we say yes to God. You can't possibly see. But through that yes, that faith, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. He brings forth his supernatural life into this world.